Yeah, it's been the running thread through all of my professional activity. And I can give you a couple examples here. You know, yes, it's a place that I return to summer after summer, but the people who you meet at the Montu School and the people who you interact with become your colleagues out in the wider professional world. So, for example, you know, another piece that I'm going to play this summer at the Montu School on one of their chamber music programs is a trio, and it's for a very strange combination of instruments. It's for viola, horn, and piano. Now, why would anybody write a piece for viola, horn, and piano? Well, in this particular case, it's because two of my very close friends, whom I met at the Montu School in 2005, commissioned me to write a piece for them. They're a husband and wife. The husband plays horn. The wife plays viola. And they commissioned a piece from me in 2017. It was just last year for them to play with me at the piano. And so it's like, here we are, you know, after first meeting each other 12 years ago in Down East Maine. And now this is a piece that we have performed in, let's see, Wisconsin, Chicago. We're doing it in Texas this summer. I think we're going to do it in Washington State sometime soon. And I'm going to play it with some students at the school. So, yeah, I mean, you meet these people and you form these relationships in this very intense atmosphere over the summer, over these 6 weeks. And there's something that stays with you, and they form the backbone of your professional career. It certainly has been my case, and I know that it's been the case for many other people.
If you could say anything to Pierre Montu, what would you say to him if you had had the opportunity while he was still alive?
Gosh, that's such a great question. I mean, you know, it would be my dream to sit in a rehearsal with Pierre Montu sometime. You know, we have this tradition of our maestro, Michael Jinbo. He sits sort of on an elevated chair in the back of the orchestra. And there's an aisle for him to walk down to, you know, go adjust the conductors or to have sort of a tete-a-tete with them if that's needed. And you know, that's great. And that works very efficiently. And of course, it's got this magisterial component to it. But, you know, when Pierre Montu was the teaching at you know, the school that bears his name, he would sit in the back of the viola section and he would play in the orchestra and he would just sort of, you know, make the occasional comment. I mean, this is what I hear from, you know, from old timers who were there under his tutelage. And, you know, that would have been a really cool thing. But I do have to say, I mean, from everything that I've learned talking to people who played under Montu or, you know, studied under Montu or sometimes studied under Montu and Charles Brook and who now have seen Michael Jinbo, I think that from Michael, we actually get a lot of that same sort of sly and yet very practical approach to studying conducting and to learning how to lead an orchestra and how to communicate effectively with one's gestures and doing sort of the minimum amount possible. I mean, I think that that's what Pierre Montu himself was famous for, was he was a musician's musician. And I think that that legacy, you know, lo, these 75 years later, very much lives on.
Well, I want to thank you very much, William, for taking the time to come in and speak with me. I mean, you clearly have a passion for this school, and I loved hearing how it was, as you called it, the thread that has run through your musical life and the connections you've made there. It sounds like the kind of connections, it's like those friends you have where you may not see them for 5 years, and then you just pick up right where you left off.
It totally is that. And one last thing I'll say about that is, you know, in the world of conducting, it is possible to be competitive and yet collaborative with your colleagues. And that's something that really is nurtured at the Pierre Montu School. You know, conductors are sort of an ambitious lot of people. We're all out there competing for the same jobs and the same gigs and the same opportunities. But one thing that you realize when you're out in the world is that, you know, it's to your detriment if you have a cutthroat attitude with your colleagues, because you're sort of lonely. You're like a lion out in the field, you know, on the Serengeti, just sort of stalking your prey on your own. But, you know, because you are out there on your own, it really is important to have colleagues who you can trust and whom you can run things by and who are real friends. And you can't be in a situation sort of locked in this tiny little room with people for, you know, basically all hours of the day for 6 weeks and come away antagonistic. People's barriers get broken down. And that's a really healthy thing. And it sort of forms this rich community of people who have your back and who are people who you can confide in and you can look to for advice. And that's a really special thing that I don't think conductors get in many other programs that might be less in a less pressurized environment.
Maybe intense, too, you know, because it's just 6 weeks.
Right. Yeah. It's 6 weeks. But, you know, I mean, it's funny. By the end of the 6 weeks, you feel drained. You feel like it's been a year. And then, you know, then you leave and you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, when do I get to come back?